have your Bibles, would you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms? Psalms chapter 143. Some of you, there should be, if you don't have a Bible, there might be one near you in the pew. You're welcome to grab that. Psalms 143, verses 7 through 8. Psalms 143, verses 7 through 8. My message entitled today, When Faith Brings Us Out of Life's Pit. When faith brings us out of life's pit. But let's look at this verse, Psalms 143, verse 7 through 8. Starting with 7. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Researchers are showing that a child laughs some 150 times every day. But by the time that that same child reaches their adult years, their laughter occurrences is known to be reduced to roughly 15 times per day. Now, I can remember I laughed a lot as a child. I was probably laughed at a lot as a child. But I had moments that were good, but I also had moments that weren't so good. But I can remember I tried to always put a good spin on the rough times. I was like the young child that brought home his report card, and it was heavy with poor grades. And the father said, "What have you to say about this?" And the boy said, "One thing for sure, Dad, you can be proud of me. You know that with these grades I haven't cheated." Or the little boy that came home with his report card and he said, "Daddy, can you sign your name in the dark?" And he said, "I believe I can." And the little boy said, "Well, good, here's my report card, it needs to be signed." Well, sometimes we go through those things as a child, but we tend to laugh pretty quickly. It's sometimes even minutes later we're able to let things go and we laugh. We recall those glorious times as a child when everything was fresh, everything was light, funny, and life was filled with adventure. We look forward to that next day. We could laugh and we could rejoice. We could even chuckle at funny things. There's an innocence to some degree. There's almost an effort by our society through the years. It's not as good as it once was, but there's been an effort to shield children from life's difficult experiences in the hopes of protecting them to retain that innocence, that freshness, that gentle laughter. It always amazed me that sometimes children are so honest and they can say things you and I would never dream of saying, but they're usually quite honest and innocent and laugh when things are indeed funny. But we reach our adult years and life does what it does. Life kind of kicks us and we lose sometimes our ability to readily laugh at a moment's notice, to enjoy life. We sometimes seemingly we can't put sadness aside. What happened from childhood? What happened from childhood to becoming an adult that caused that movement, to cause that change? I was looking at a blogger's writings recently, and I was thunderstruck, startled by what she wrote. Let me read this to you, and I quote, "I realized something. I can't laugh anymore. I don't know when this happened. It kind of crept up on me. I tried sifting through the top 100 funny things online. I tried movies, I tried blogs and other things that used to make me laugh. Nothing works anymore. In the past, when I was laughing for a brief few seconds, I didn't feel so badly. I miss that. I know why things are funny. I just can't smile, let alone laugh at those funny things. I've been broken for years, but I think I'm really broken now. Anyone else like that? For many, it is depression or just sadness. Something or a series of somethings has happened. And in our adult years, in our adult life, we've lost our sense of joy. There doesn't seem to be anything that can bring us any kind of joy. David in the Bible understood a little bit about that. Let me read this again. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. What most people don't understand is that it is not something you can just snap out of. Once you sense you're in that pit, it's hard to come out of it. Well-meaning Christians sometimes offer seemingly good pat phrases, scripture verses, or other standard words for short-term relief in their minds. In most cases, I'm going to tell you those pat phrases, they don't work. You understand what I'm saying? You hear phrases like, God's in control. Well, yes, he is. There's a truth in that. You hear phrases where, give it all to him. And sometimes I've heard people say, when someone says that to me, even in a church, I just want to hit them. Because I'm hurting, and I just want them to acknowledge the hurt that I'm feeling at that moment. In most cases, those words don't work. The hurt may be deep, and the depression sometimes is strong. Even those who seem fun are often sad. One of the most brilliant comedians that I thought, you know, out in the world, Robin Williams, made so many people laugh through the years. Come to find out, he was deeply sad, deeply depressed. He couldn't find joy. Even though he gave others joy, he couldn't find it in his own life. The story is told in 1835. A man visited a doctor in Florence, Italy, and he was filled with anxiety and exhausted from a lack of sleep. He couldn't eat. He was starting to avoid his friends, and the doctor examined him and found that he was in perfect, prime physical condition. He concluded that this patient just needed to have a good time. The physician told him about a circus in town and said its star performer, a clown by the name of Grimaldi, was performing. And night after night, this clown, he had the people rolling in the aisles. The doctor said, you must go see him. It'll make you feel better. Grimaldi is the world's funniest clown. He'll make you laugh. He'll make you feel better. He'll cure your sadness. The despairing man looked at him and he said, no, he can't help me. You see, I'm that clown. I'm Grimaldi. The reasons sometimes for people are so many to be down, and for many the suffering is very real, the things that are going on in their own life. Sometimes it comes from a tragedy. Sometimes when we realize we've made a mistake, we've taken a path we shouldn't have taken, we've made a decision we shouldn't have made, we acted too soon. We were decisive when we should not have been. Our decision might have been costly. I read with interest the letter of the woman who changed her mind, and she begged her fiancé to take her back. Let me read this letter. I saw it, and I thought it was appropriate. Dearest Jimmy, no words could ever express the great unhappiness I felt since breaking our engagement. Please say you'll take me back. No one could ever take your place in my heart. So please forgive me. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yours forever, Marie. P.S. Congratulations on winning the state lottery. Sometimes you act too quickly. But sometimes we just mess up. Sometimes we just ache because things didn't turn out the way we'd hoped. Sometimes we ache from our mistakes. We ache sometimes because maybe Our kids aren't where we'd hoped they would be. We just feel down and we feel that nothing can fix it. You say, well, Pastor, why are you bringing all the doom and gloom? Why bring this up? You say, why are you talking about this? If there's no cure, if there's no solution here in this world, my sweet people, there is not a solution, not here in this world. The solution lies with a sovereign God who loves us, who cares for us, who is the great comforter. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, verily I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And I cling to that sometimes when I feel like things aren't the way I want them to be. And when I'm a little down, I cling to that verse. I hang on to it for dear life because I know he loves me. Not only now, he's loved me everlasting. That's from the beginning of time to the end of time. He loves me. You say, well, aren't we back to pat phrases? Choice scripture, same old, same old. I'm here to tell you and I'm here to acknowledge there's no simplicity in getting past those feelings of being down, those feelings of depression. It's tough. It's intense. There are situations I want to go ahead and acknowledge. Sometimes there are situations that medicines can make a difference in the human body. We're made up of multiple chemicals. Sometimes they're out of balance. Sometimes that can be part of the solution. And I just want to say, though, it doesn't come quick. It doesn't come easy. It's a long-term path, and I'm going to tell you, it's not an easy road. It's a bumpy road. It's a difficult road, a road sometimes with pitfalls as we climb out of that pit. What I am saying is long-term solution. There is a solution. There is a remedy. It's just simple faith in him, in his word. It's faith in the tough times. It's faith in the down times. It's faith in the awful times. You say, well, Pastor, what kind of faith are you talking about? I don't know about that faith. What kind of faith can cure the pain that I have? You say, Pastor, when you're down, how can you even have faith in anything? It just sounds too easy. Listen for just a moment. Stay with me for just a moment. It's about turning to a holy God in our most awful times and saying, asking, pleading, Lord, help me. I've reached the end. I have no other chance to climb out of this pit. I need you right now. I've got to shake off things and cling to him and hang on to hope. You've heard me tell about that old mule that he fell into the deepest, darkest pit, and the old farmer was trying to get him out, and they did everything they could, and they finally realized, we're never going to get this fellow out. And so he got some neighbors and they got shovels and they said he's an old animal and probably he wouldn't have lasted much longer. We're just going to go ahead and bury him right where he's at. And they got shovels and they began to throw a shovel full of dirt into that pit. And that mule began to bray and he began to squawk and make all kinds of manner of noise. And that mule finally realized, it's up to me. I've hit rock bottom. I've got to hang on to hope. And that mule just... Next shovel full of dirt, he shook it off. And every shovel full of dirt, he shook it off. And as the dirt fell to the floor, he began to climb on top of that dirt, on top of the trouble that was hitting his back. And before long, he climbed out of that pit. That's the kind of faith, that's the kind of hope I'm talking about. I'm saying we cling to him and say, you're my last shot, you're my last hope. I've got to cling to you in your promises, in your love, and in your hope because you are the only hope. Scripture has it right. It's so clear. It's so easy in fact, it sounds wrong, but it's right. It's his word. It's godly. It's holy. It's him saying to us, listen to this, when we are oppressed, he's there. And Psalms 9:9 says the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed. A refuge in times of trouble. So I love hearing that because When I get in times of trouble, He's my refuge. I can step into His loving arms and cling to Him, and I'm okay, I'm at peace. When we have a broken heart, He's there mending our heart with Psalms 34:18, which says the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite and humble spirit. When we're afraid, He's there to comfort with 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When we wake up in the morning and we don't feel loved, there's Psalms 143:8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. In the morning when we don't feel loved, He's there to love us in the morning. When you can praise Him in the tough times, absorb His word in the down times, He'll lift you up. There were times Corrie Ten Boom, that great author from World War II, who was in those concentration camps for freeing the Jews, she said sometimes when the concentration camp got too much to her and she began to feel herself go down into a pit of despair, she would read God's word until it ate her away. And He was there for her. Yes, living faith is a long-term answer. It is a long-term, faith-honored solution. But I'm going to tell you, my friends, it doesn't work with dead faith. It doesn't work with dead faith. Dead faith would lead a person to take a bottle of medicine from their medicine cabinet and look at the instructions on it and say, you know, I'm sure these instructions are correct. And I have all the confidence in the world in the source of the medicine. I know it's good. And say, I know who wrote these directions. I believe everything about these instructions and these directions. And I even know that this will help me if I just take it. Dead faith knows all of that, but then takes that medicine bottle and puts it back on the shelf and says, I know it's going to help me, but I'm not going to take it. That faith is dead. Living faith knows all these things and takes that medicine and follows those instructions through to the conclusion of the healing. Now, I've been on blood pressure medicine for probably 4 or 5 years, and I'm told I may be on it the rest of my life. And I found that before I started on that blood pressure medicine, I was getting headaches. I don't know if you ever went through that period of time before you were diagnosed, but I had headaches and I didn't sleep well. I got a little grouchy on occasion. You want to hear about it? Talk to my lovely wife. She'll let you know I wasn't always the sweet, loving person that you know. I struggled. And I began to take that medicine, and I went to that first return visit, and it was 120 over 75. I thought, that stuff works. And I felt great. And I've taken that for 5 years, and I think off and on, maybe a day or two, I've missed taking that. I've continued to take that medicine because it helps me. And I'm going to tell you, some of you know that God's word will make a difference, but it sits on your shelf. Day after day, week after week after week. And you wonder, you say, why am I so depressed? Why can't I get anywhere in life? Because God's word is not in your life. It's not in your heart. You're not absorbing the medicine God has provided His people. People come up to me and say, why is my life such a mess? And I say, what's your favorite verse? Huh? What's the latest verse that really meant a lot to you? Huh? Take your medicine. Living faith takes that medicine and follows its instructions to the conclusion of the healing and beyond. How many of you get a prescription? Let me ask this question. How many of you get that prescription and it says, take all the pills till you're done? Let's say you get an antibiotic. You know what I'm talking about. You feel miserable and you get that, I think they call it a Z-Pack. Am I right with that? Something like that. And it has like 10 pills, and you got to take them for a number of days. And about the fifth day, I feel great. And we put the Z-Pak away, and I don't need that medicine anymore. And then about a day or two later, we're sick again. Most of us take the first few pills and feel a little bit better, and then we put the medicine away. Too many of us take God's medicine until we feel better, and then our faith goes back on the shelf along with God's Word. And then we wonder, why do I feel so badly again, all over again? Our faith in God's Word is for life. Just like that blood pressure medicine for me, I have to take it the rest of my life. For me to feel the joy of the Lord and that He is my strength and that He is my courage, I have to take this the rest of my life. I'm dependent on it. I can't go without it. It is my medication. It's the medication that God has provided God's people. And when you put it on the shelf, you put the medicine bottle up on the shelf, and it does nothing for you. And the pit quickly comes about. God's words helps us light the path, using Psalms 119, 105 as a torch. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. So when I can't see around the corner, I've got God's word, and it's a light unto my path. I can see clearly. I may not know what's happening, but I don't need to know. I just depend on Him. We can get happy with God's Word. Are you ready to get happy with God's Word? Luke 11:28 says, but He said, yea, rather blessed. Happy are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. You want to do the joy test? If you're not in God's Word, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail the joy test. You're going to fail it right quick. God's Word gives us wisdom when life gets weird. Has life ever gotten weird for you? Come on. Life ever gotten weird for you? Awkward? Then we can look at Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth coming knowledge and understanding. So when I think, you know, this is crazy. People don't make sense to me. Do people make sense to you? Sometimes I see people and they do things and they take actions and I think, what in the world are they thinking? How many of you have ever thought that? What are they thinking? Then I only have to look at Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And it just washes away when I trust in Him. The missionary to India many years ago, E. Stanley Jones, said it so well. Faith is not merely you holding on to God. It is God holding on to you. He will not let you go. Studies show it takes 4 positive statements to counteract the effect of 1 negative statement. So if you have 4 criticisms, if you have 1 criticism, it takes 4 compliments for you to forget that 1 criticism. How many of you have ever been criticized, either directly or indirectly? And you carried that? I still carry with me. I'm going to tell you, been in ministry over 30 years, I still remember one of my first criticisms when somebody said, I don't like the way you lead in ministry. I've never forgotten that moment. It burned in my heart, and I carry it with me as an ache. You would think some of those things, we can just go to therapy and get through it. But sometimes when I read God's Word, it bludgeons that negative comment. And I realize I have a loving God, and I'm called to do great things. And He's showing me miracles I would have never dreamed possible. And so I look at that negative statement and I say, no worries. No worries. Because I'm a little guy down here. I don't amount to much. I'm not that important in the scheme of Louisville, Kentucky. But I got a great big God. A great big sovereign God who has said, Ken Rutledge, I'm going to use you to make a difference to help people, to love people, to bring them closer to you, and I couldn't be more happy. Do you know I find more joy the closer I get to His will? I find more joy than I could ever imagine. The farther away during the times of my life I got away from His will, the most miserable times I've ever experienced. I'll tell you that when I got away from the medicine of God's Word, miserable. Miserable. That's why our Bible reading is so critical. To hear of God's love and to take the medicine He gives us. To hear of His positive affirmation found only in His Word. To hear that He'll lead us. To hear that He'll guide us. To hear that He's yes for us. Our Bible reading is part of the medicine that treats us, helps us, anoints us. It brings us faith that helps us to climb out of that pit we fall into sometimes. So the question of the day, I want to ask you, if you're in a pit, and life has just gotten so weary, your heart just can't seem to get around all that's taking place. Are you taking your medicine? Are you taking your medicine, or have you set it on the shelf and said, I know it'll help, but I'm not going to take my medicine. I'm just going to be miserable. I'm going to beg of you, take the medicine. Come to Him. The Bible says, cast your care on Him. For what? Say it with me. For what? He careth for you. We can claim. They used to say we can take that to the bank. We can take that to the bank. We can trust in Him. And that's where we climb out of the pit. That's how we step through that. That's how it makes a difference in our lives. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord. We have stepped through it. I struggled to preach this message. But I felt deep in my heart that there were folks, perhaps, that have had moments like I've had where we felt we were in a pit of despair and that needed to understand that Your Word is, in fact, the medicine. Lord, I pray, I agonize, I plead with You that You will bring about those in this congregation to come closer to You, to accept Your medication, to accept Your promises. And Lord, to rejoice in that. Lord, if our hearts are beating, our hearts are pounding, that we would respond to...